The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, on this holiday week. A lot going on in the world of sports. Arizona-centric. Sports360AZ.com is the website on White Mountain Radio. A lot of you from the valley have headed up to the mountains. Why not go to the Sunrise Ski Resort, have some fun, and screw around up in the mountains at your cabins on this Christmas week. Hope that you're having a great holiday. On the show today, coming up in about 15 minutes, Jason Cole, award-winning insider, National Football Post, part of the Sports Illustrated group. The Cardinals' huge road win at Seattle, the playoff picture and how cluttered it is, Jason Cole, in about 15 minutes. News and notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist. She'll weigh in on the Cardinals' win, the Suns playing the Lakers tonight, and things going on in the state of Arizona. Albert Breer, NFL Network insider, joins me in about 45 minutes to talk about the Cardinals' remarkable season. So all over the place today, great guest list, and a lot on my mind in the world of sports. Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Eric Sorensen, gets us off and running with today's Facebook question of the day.
Did I get a new title? Senior? Wow.
Senior Executive Vice President
Amazing.
Of nothing.
Okay, that's better.
Or everything.
Well, no surprise, Brad. Today's Facebook question obviously is about the Cardinals. They are the talk of the NFL today after their improbable win over the Seahawks yesterday. 10-5, still in the playoff mix. We're going to go a little bit off the game path and more of the big picture today.
Yeah.
Who deserves more credit for the turnaround from last year's abortion?
Wow. It's a strong word.
Pretty much the way it was.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians.
Uh-huh.
Or Steve Keim. Both in their first year. I know Keim has been in the organization, but first year as GM, he's made over 100 roster moves since he's taken over. And Arians' track record speaks for himself. This guy's got a chance to become, I don't know if it's been done before, back-to-back NFL Coach of the Year. He's a strong candidate, I think, if they're in or even if they're not in the playoffs. Sports360AZ.com. Arians is sort of the face, but Keim is the guy that, you know, brought in Carlos Dansby and made some of these kind of under-the-radar moves that are paying big dividends right now.
Do you buy into coaches coach, players play?
Yes and no. I think what those two have done has been a lot of great coaching and a lot of great maneuvering because, yes, this Cardinal team has talent. Does it have the most talent in the NFL? No. But when you're in the NFC West and you've got a chance to go 11-5, it's a heck of a year.
Because here's my question on that. You know, Ken Whisenhunt did not get the most out of his players. A year ago, everybody was talking about Ray Horton. Remember all the Ray Horton conversation? Oh my gosh, Ray Horton's got to be the coach. Ray Horton, he's got to stay here. And why was that? Why was it everybody was all wound up about Ray Horton from a media standpoint? Well, it's pretty simple. Ray Horton would give you off the record what was going on. Ray Horton was very savvy in working over the media. Nobody really wanted to take a shot and say, the guy hasn't been a head coach yet. That's not happening. And so when he left for Cleveland, yeah, it was messy the way that it went. What do you know? A year later now, all of a sudden, it's Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles is the hot candidate. Todd Bowles is terrific. What a job Todd Bowles has done. Same sort of deal. Now, Calais Campbell, let's just talk Calais Campbell for a minute. You and I know Calais very well. Calais did a weekly show with us last year. He parlayed that into being the Cardinals' weekly show guy. It's all well and good. But did Calais have a good season a year ago? No, he didn't. Was it all injury related? No, he just didn't show up, in my opinion. Did Darnell Dockett have the impact a year ago that Darnell Dockett has had this year? I don't think so. Why is that? Is it because the defensive coordinator? Is it because behind Darnell Dockett and Calais Campbell, Carlos Dansby is now standing there and John Abraham's standing there and not Piers Lennon? You know, there was some guys that were on this roster that I looked at through the years and said, you know, why is Michael Adams a starting corner in the NFL when he's nothing more than a nickelback? Well, everybody in town, well, Michael Adams is a great guy. You know, let's do the piece on Michael Adams because he's so nice and he always talks to us after games.
Sure.
Well, how about, I don't know, maybe he's just not that talented.
Clark Hagan's 2.0, another one. They brought him back. And they tried it last year, and it just didn't work.
Adrian Wilson. Oh, man. A-dub. A-dub. Dub. A-dub. Dub. A-Dub the last few years was a sullen guy in his locker who I think some of his teammates saw the decline, and nobody wanted to say a thing about it. And so there was this big, oh my gosh, Adrian Wilson's leaving. And yeah, we were right there along with it. It was significant that he left. But he had to go. It was over. It ends in a hurry in the NFL. Sorry. That's just the way it is. And so he moves on. What do you know? He doesn't even play this year in New England. He gets hurt. He's on IR. Done. So when I ask about players play, coaches coach, some of these players, I think, this year were challenged. They also have better players behind them. I mean, you tell me, is it a better secondary than it was a year ago? Where's Kerry Rhodes this year? For whatever reason. This was supposed to be a big bad Kerry Rhodes. Well, you know, the rumors about Kerry Rhodes and his sexual preference and all that stuff, don't mean a thing. Bottom line is, did he play a down this year in the NFL? The answer to that is, as far as I know, no, he didn't. So Steve Keim deserves credit for weeding out some of these guys. Arians wasn't even the Cardinals' first choice as their coach, if we remember correctly. June Jones was a name that was thrown out there by agents. That name was thrown out around Arizona State. There was plenty of guys that were thrown out. Mike McCoy was the first guy. If we remember correctly, it was all about Mike McCoy between San Diego and Denver. There were dozens of names that were thrown out. Bruce Arians wasn't one of them. I was sitting there pounding my fist saying, why are these guys not even talking to Bruce Arians? The Bears were looking at Bruce Arians. It's a really good question. And my show's done for the day. I'm finished. No, I'm just kidding. You can head over to facebook.com/sports360. That's pretty good. Sports360AZ. Like our page. Share your input. You can actually put that on the best of our year-end show. You know, that was a rant of rants. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.com. Let's get you caught up with some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains, where here it is, the holiday week. And you're still, wherever you're taking in the show, if you're not up at the Honda Resort and Casino, you're not up in the Pine Top Sholo area, and you're thinking, where am I going to go get away? Or even if you are up in the Pine Top Sholo area, stop on in the Honda Resort and Casino, pull down the slot, have some great food, some great fun, go ski at the Sunrise Ski Resort, go sledding, snowboarding, whatever. Tie it all together, but stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. And know this, New Year's Eve, big, big celebration, big, big bash at the Honda Resort and Casino. That's the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of what we do since day number one. In about 10 minutes, Jason Cole, award-winning insider, National Football Post on the Cardinals, Paula Bovin, and also Albert Breer from the NFL Network. Okay, so the game yesterday was a throwback game. In my mind, it was the biggest single road win for the Arizona Cardinals since they won at Carolina the year that they went to the Super Bowl in the playoffs. Eric, can you think of any other game that comes close in the magnitude of what they did yesterday, where nobody gave them a shot at winning?
Last year in New England, when they went across country and won, that was a really big win, but it didn't resonate like yesterday's. I mean,
it was a month into the season.
And the Seattle's invincible at home. I mean, we had the Facebook question last week. What are the percentages you give the Cardinals of winning out?
Right.
And most people said 0%. Well, yeah. Guess what? They're a lot closer to getting that done after what we saw yesterday.
And part of it was the Seahawks, okay? When you make mistakes, and Seattle made some mistakes yesterday, that was part of the deal.
Jay Feely driving it into the end zone where Robert Turbin brings it out 3 yards deep. Fumbles the football, and the Cardinals are at it. The recovery by Justin Bethel came out of the hands of Turbin.
I don't think anybody even hit him. I think it just came out.
Justin Bethel should be going to the Pro Bowl this year, by the way. One of those Pro Bowl guys for the Cardinals. That was a big part in yesterday's game. Russell Wilson was able to rally his team. Close game late in the game.
Wilson from the pocket has to move around. Floats one in the end zone open. Touchdown, Seahawks! Zach Miller from Phoenix, Arizona. From Arizona State.
But as bad as Carson Palmer was yesterday, and Carson Palmer wasn't good yesterday, but here's the deal on Carson Palmer. Somehow, someway, he manages games and he made one big play yesterday, and it was a play that was a great throw. You could take all those other interceptions, throw them to the wayside. This one play made up for it in my mind.
Pete Carroll loves to blitz. Here
pressure
comes.
Palmer going deep down the sideline, and the catch. Touchdown, Cardinals, Michael Floyd. Floyd's first catch of the game. And it could be the Cardinals' knockout punch.
And the best throw Carson Palmer has made all day.
But then there was the defense of the Cardinals. And I thought the defense was really the story in yesterday's game. Once again, Carlos Dansby. Carlos Dansby has been terrific this year. Carlos Dansby has had a Pro Bowl type of season, and he made plays yesterday.
Wilson fires, and he was open, but a little bit short, tipped around.
And I think that's a pick.
Incomplete for Baldwin. The Cardinals are pointing as if it is.
It is.
And the officials, no ruling yet from them. Did the ball hit the ground?
No, it looked like it came off the hands of Doug Baldwin on the deflection.
That looks Carlos like Dansby came up with the pick.
Now, I've seen that play over and over and over. I don't sit here with Cardinal-colored glasses on. Don't have those. Don't own a pair. To me, it did not have enough evidence to overturn it, but to me it looked like the point of the ball did hit the ground. Teams find ways to win games. Teams get lucky. Teams get breaks. That's part of sports. I think you could go either way on this one, but there, in my mind, that was a correct call by the official. There wasn't enough evidence to overturn it, but as I'm watching it, I don't know, that ball looked like it hit the ground to me. And the ruling on the field was an interception. Can't turn it away. The Cardinals win at Seattle. I've got these nitwit Seahawk fans today that are saying, well, you know, we're already in the playoffs and we didn't need this game. And just enough. Enough. You lost at home. It happens. It'd been like, I don't know, 700 days since they lost a home game, I'd heard. On the other side, Jason Cole, National Football Post, part of the Sports Illustrated group. The Cardinals road win in Seattle, week 16, the cluttered playoff picture. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com on White Mountain Radio. This segment of the Brad Sussmat Show brought to you by Simply Sell It Now. Sells people's cars, trucks, motorcycles, RVs, boats. Let them sell your vehicle. Hey, honey, get that boat out of my front yard. No upfront cost, no hassle. Simply Sell It Now handles all the details, advertises, shows your vehicle, negotiates the price, all that. SimplySellItNow.com. That's SimplySellItNow.com. I know that the Lakers are in town tonight to play the Suns. I know the Coyotes had a nice win over the weekend, and they skated Buffalo tonight. Two nights in Buffalo. Knock yourself out, Coyote fans. I know we have all the bowl games rolling through town. Michigan and Kansas State are supposed to arrive this week, and then the Fiesta Bowl. I have not sensed what's going on here about the Cardinals, because this is one of those mixed bag markets where people are into the Packers, they're into the Bears. But with what happened yesterday and the whole Arians-Keim era out here, it's a different feel than I've sensed since 2008. The win yesterday at Seattle, their biggest victory on the road, I think, since they won at Carolina the year they went to the Super Bowl. Nobody picked them to win. Jason Cole joins us now for a couple of minutes. Award-winning insider, National Football Post, and much more. You can follow Jason over on Twitter as well. Appreciate you coming on, Jason. What do you make out of our story out here in Arizona?
It's a pretty awesome story. I mean, you're talking about a team that are going to win 11 games, make a run at either, could be in the playoffs, could go deep because of their defense, or could be sitting on the outside. Probably the best team since like the 08 Patriots that won 11 games without Tom Brady, but still won 11 games. Probably the best team since that one to maybe not make the playoffs. So this is it's one of those edge of the seat kind of moments that you'd love to see coming down the end of the season.
When Arians was hired and Keim was put in place, I think out here the feel was, okay, this is going to be one of those rebuilding years. But really, Arians and his staff have been able to do something with some of these vets out here that Ken Whisenhunt wasn't able to do, that Rod Graves wasn't able to do. And I think, namely offensively, it's find a quarterback, even with four interceptions yesterday. Let's start with Carson Palmer. What your read is out here, do they have the long-term answer, or is this just a one-year deal from your view?
Well, I think it's what you're looking at is a short-term guy who probably plays 2 or 3 years in the best case scenario while you're grooming somebody else to take the position down the line. That's most likely. Can Carson rejuvenate his career? Can you get the offensive line to be better? Will you keep Larry Fitzgerald around to go with Floyd, who's improving, and create kind of offense that can get rid of the ball quickly and cover up some of the woes on the offensive line? There's a lot of questions there. I mean, Carson Palmer, I've always thought, has had a lot of talent. He's been stuck in some dead-end situations between Cincinnati and Oakland, which very few people would have been able to overcome. But, you know, Bruce has done a great job of getting the most out of him, especially after, look, early in the season, first half of the season, I think a lot of people were ready to cash in on Carson Palmer.
Yep.
And Bruce has stayed with it and gotten him going the right direction. And let's, I just want to caution this. You know, you talk about Ken Whisenhunt. Ken Whisenhunt did a hell of a job with Kurt Warner and, you know, obviously getting them to the Super Bowl. So it's happened before in Arizona. I think the problem in Arizona is always, can you keep the momentum going? Will management do the things that you need to do to keep the team, you know, headed the right way? And will you continue to collect talent? Because this Arizona team, really good. But there are a lot of guys who are a little bit long in the tooth, you know, like Dockett, like Palmer, who are eventually going to have to be replaced.
Well, and I think, too, we're talking with Jason Cole, National Football Post, for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat. This year, for whatever reason, last year it was Ray Horton this, Ray Horton that, and I liked Ray Horton, but when he was let go and went to Cleveland, you would have thought it was the apocalypse. Now, a year later, it's Todd Bowles this and Todd Bowles that, and can they keep Todd Bowles here? Todd Bowles, it seems to me, Jason, has been able to push Darnell and push Calais and get more out of them than what we saw last year. Now, is that part and parse because John Abraham's behind him and Carlos Dansby's behind him and there's a better secondary? Probably has something to do with that. But those two players in particular, what you see defensively?
Well, I think when you have a veteran group, this is sort of like when the Raiders made their last run at the Super Bowl and, you know, when they lost to Tampa. Sometimes you get, if you can keep older guys healthy, they force other guys to play better around them. There's almost a guilt complex, you know, like, look, I'm here playing, I'm 30, I'm 34, I'm 33, whatever I am, you know, and I'm putting out maximum effort. What are you doing?
Right.
And it's hard for a guy like Dockett at age 30 to look at a guy like Dansby or John Abraham and to say, oh, you know, I'm doing everything I can. Well, those guys are doing everything they can and more, and you've got to, you know, you got to stay with them. I mean, you have a hard time looking an older guy in the eye and saying, yeah, I'm putting out max effort if you're really not. And so I think that that's part of what you get with this team. The problem with that is it's just like the Raiders. As soon as that Raider team made one Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden all those guys, you know, got a year older, and pretty soon they were all out of the league, and that team fell apart. So you've got to balance it with keep rejuvenating the team, build it around Patrick Peterson as he heads into the prime of his career, you know, get Matthew back healthy next year, all those things that you have to do to constantly transition and keep yourself at the top.
A couple other questions, let you go. Arians coach of the year, Keim executive of the year. Do you see a possibility for either one of those guys if they don't make the postseason? Obviously, what Belichick has done without his top players, what's gone on with Rivera and Carolina, even though the Cardinals beat them out here, we thought Rivera was a dead man walking back in September after the Cardinals won that game. But just Keim and Arians on a national scale.
Oh, both are possibilities. Yeah, but I think you hit it right. I mean, you got to make the playoffs. And I hate to be as bottom line about that.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
There's five really good candidates, or five or six at least, between Arians and Rivera and Chip Kelly and Belichick piecing it together. That's a pretty studly group of coaches with accomplishments this year. And most of them are going to make the playoffs. Certainly Rivera and the Panthers are going to make the playoffs after what they did yesterday. And to me, Rivera took a huge step forward yesterday.
Before I let you go here, so sort it out this weekend. What's your gut tell you how this is going to play out a week from now? These teams are in, these teams are out. Obviously, the Cardinals need some help. How do you see it playing out?
All right, I'm just trying to remember. Cardinals, their last game is San Francisco.
Here, yeah.
Yeah, there. The problem is I don't think that Atlanta can do much against them tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
I agree.
You know, that one, that's the tough part. I don't think you're going to get enough help. So I think the Arizona's going to be on the outside looking in. The AFC is interesting for that last spot because you've got potential of 3 teams at 9-7, maybe 5 teams at 8-8. Ultimately, for some reason, I keep coming back to, I think Baltimore's going to make it, but the Dolphins are probably the most logical choice given all of the matchups.
A lot of Packers-Bears fans out here. How do you see that one shaking out?
Well, does Aaron play? Aaron plays, is Aaron good? Without Matthews, that one's tough. I think that the receivers are too big and too strong. But Cutler didn't play well last night. I mean, that wasn't their only problem. Their defense was
horrendous.
Bears' defense was horrendous. Yeah. But I don't think the Bears, I don't think the Packers can do to the Bears what Philly did unless Rodgers is healthy. If Rodgers is healthy and goes and is on top of his game, then that's a really hard one for the Bears to win. If it's Flynn and with that Packers defense going up against those receivers, I think it becomes a Bears game. So a lot of this hinges on whether the quarterback plays or not.
Yeah, you need a white grease pencil just to color in the spot on Aaron's X-ray to say, no, you're fine. Go play. get on out
not
there.
Not something that Ted Thompson's going to do anytime soon.
Thanks for the time. Appreciate your visit. Thanks.
No problem. Take care.
Jason Cole there, National Football Post, award-winning insider. Jason's a big Stanford fan as well, and I was going to get into the David Shaw thing, but stick with the NFL. Briefly, so tonight the Suns play the Lakers, and it's almost like, yeah, so what, Brad? The Suns play the Lakers. I know there's no Kobe. The Suns won again over the weekend, took care of business at home on Saturday night against Dallas. Dallas isn't very good. But you still see some push out of the Suns. It's like we're waiting for that 5-game losing streak. We're waiting for that. Even when Bledsoe went down with the ankle injury, they didn't go through that long extended losing streak. And so I'm interested to see what they do tonight. The Lakers reportedly have been shopping Pau Gasol around. The Suns, would they want Pau Gasol on their front line? I don't think they need him on their front line. I don't want to see them go get some aging guys and try to become a team that has a little bit more depth. They're a fun team to watch. Actually had a Robert Sarver signing on Saturday night. Saw Robert Sarver in the crowd at a Suns game. Just slowly push him out there a little bit. Slowly work him in there a little bit. And it's fine. Just be there for the opening tip. Man, leave at halftime. Just let your guys do their thing. Don't get too close to the fire, okay? You've hired Ryan McDonough. You've hired Jeff Hornacek. They're doing just fine. The Coyotes play tonight in Buffalo. So how would you like to go from an all-expense-paid night in Ottawa to 2 all-expense-paid nights in Buffalo in the middle of winter and then get pumped up, psyched up, geeked up to go play tonight? So the Coyotes play Buffalo tonight. And the Coyotes look pretty good Saturday afternoon. It was a nice win over the Senators. Vermette had a hat trick. They're playing pretty well. Below the radar, there's some really good sports stories here in Arizona that aren't getting a whole lot of attention right now because everything is all about what's going with the Cardinals, and I'd say, too, with Arizona State in their bowl game next week. On the other side, we'll talk to Paula Bovin about all things Arizona, as we do every week. Paula Bovin News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Still to come, Albert Breer with the NFL Network. He joins me to talk more about the Arizona Cardinals, their win yesterday. From the NFL Network, Albert Breer comes up in about 15 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. Plenty of content on Sports360AZ.com. High school, college, pros, Sports360AZ.com. Happy holidays.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
It's good Monday. News and Notes, Paula Bovin, every week. I lost my sitter last night, so my wife and I were supposed to be at Paula's house. Eric, did you go to Paula's last night? She had some, pasta party, that thing.
Unfortunately, I did not.
You blew her off?
No, not at all.
You lose your sitter?
No, we were celebrating Christmas at my parents', since I will be celebrating Christmas and Southern California.
Ah, I see.
So, bummed I couldn't make it, but...
You think she's going to hold it against us?
I don't think so. She doesn't hold grudges.
Really?
No.
It's a different Paula than one.
She's
the one
not
I know.
A grudge holder.
Yeah, she's a grudge matcher, which is fine. Here's Paula Bovin. You're not going to hold a grudge, are you?
Brad, never.
You sure?
You're lost. That's all. That's all I'll say.
What'd you serve? What did we miss? What did Eric and I miss?
Well, as Eric can attest, because he's tried it before, my mom makes homemade lasagna and makes the noodles by hand and everything, and it's unbelievable.
You have leftovers?
Sorry.
None?
No, they all went.
Wow.
Sorry about that.
I mean, we could come by after the show. We could do that. Eric, you have time, right? I mean, we could come over. So you're watching the Cardinal game yesterday.
Yes.
And at halftime, you're thinking what?
I was thinking, oh, my God, Carson Palmer. And, oh, my God, this offense. I was so impressed with the defense, but just shaking my head at what was happening with the offense.
And so you get into the third quarter.
Right.
And you're thinking what?
I'm thinking.
Same thing?
No, I'm thinking, you know what? They're playing better and they can win this thing because they have, you know, shown that sort of moxie all season where they have that comeback ability, so you never count them out. So as disgusted as, you know, just a fan of football watching that game at halftime, I was more encouraged for Cardinals fans as it went on.
And then when they win it, are you just, here's a columnist looking at this story, are you trying to make sense of how could the quarterback throw four picks at Seattle and they still win the game?
Yeah, as a columnist, I was thinking I wish I was there to write the story because it was such a great, I mean, just the heart that defense showed and what they did to, you know, Russell Wilson in an offense that, you know, can score at will, and he's so dangerous with his legs and everything else. I just thought it was an amazing effort, and it's a shame that it's going to be very, very hard for this team to make the playoffs. That was the other thing I kept thinking, too.
You don't think they're going to make it in?
Well, I mean, they can, but, I mean, the two scenarios that have to happen, I mean, I can see them beating San Francisco, but they need help from other teams that don't necessarily convince me that they can get the job done.
When I saw Carolina score with 20 seconds, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, it was so right there for them yesterday. And look, I think that they're playing better. Are they playing better than Philadelphia? Well, Philadelphia was able to win, okay? Are they better than the Bears? I would say absolutely. Are they better than the Packers? Yeah, there's no question. So these teams that are making it into the postseason, I think they're better than, you know, you look over in the AFC, if the Cardinals in the AFC, what are they, probably the second or third best team?
Right.
Are they better than the Bengals? I think they're better than the Bengals.
You know, the whole four-team divisions, every year I kind of wonder if there's a better way to do it. You know, I know they added the wild cards and everything else, but just wonder if there's a different way because teams are being not necessarily always being rewarded for being the best teams or having the best records.
Mm-hmm. Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist with Brad Sussmat. So are you going to make a national case for Keim as executive of the year and Arians as coach of the year, or do they have to make the postseason even to be considered? And or you look at what Bill Belichick has done, losing a lot of starters, high profile guys, what Ron Rivera has done, even though the Cardinals beat him. Can you make a case, a strong enough case, for either one of these guys?
I think absolutely for both. And I know there's some good competition out there, and you mentioned some of it, but I mean, I think some of the talent evaluation, you look at Keim and some of the free agency decisions they made and, you know, bringing Dansby back, decisions like that, I just have been really impressed. But then what they're getting out of players that were even here last year, you look at Floyd, and I know he struggled early on, but you look at the season that he's having compared to last year, and part of that is just maturity and everything else. But I also think that, I mean, the motivation and the staff he's put together, a lot of credit has to go to Arians and what he's done. I mean, that defense is playing as well as anybody in the NFL right now.
Well, if you were to pull out shows from a year ago or columns perhaps or conversation a year ago, it was, we cannot let Ray Horton get out of here. We have to have Ray Horton. If we don't have Ray Horton, we got nothing, and they're going to be all screwed up. We got to give Ray Horton the job. Look at what he's done with the defense.
It was, I remember, oh my gosh, that was such a prevailing theme. And what is also so interesting is how different these coaches are doing it. You know, I mean, he had his way, And this staff has a different way. You look at how Dockett and what a different player he is. And I think this staff has done a really good job defensively of putting players in a position to succeed. And I don't know if that was necessarily the case last year, even though they were successful because of the methods and everything else. So I'm really, really impressed with the staff.
See, I think in Kime's case, it's pretty easy to go through the Abraham and Dansby acquisitions.
Sure.
It's pretty easy to say Tyrann Mathieu,
right.
Which at the time he got crushed for doing that, and he's turned out, and I think that's one that nobody else would take that type of gamble.
No, I agree. That was a huge, huge move, Brad, and just, I mean, they obviously not only did their homework in evaluating him and hearing, you know, what kind of guy he really is, which I know is positive, but they put things in place, I think, to make sure he succeeded, you know, beginning with his relationship with Peterson and making sure that was stable and other things that they've done. They've been really smart about that.
So, but I think on his drafting even, you know, Cooper's not been there the whole year.
Right.
And now you go through some of their other draft picks or acquisitions. Tony Jefferson comes out of the blue yesterday. Who's this guy?
Right.
Right? For a lot of fans, it's, you know, who is this guy?
Right.
And it just adds on to their player personnel decisions. As mentioned to Eric earlier, no offense to guys like Paris Lennon who are here or Adrian Wilson who should have been gone a couple of years ago, but they didn't want to pull the trigger. They find, and Kerry Rhodes, I mean, these guys that all left didn't show up in other places, or if they did, they're not being that, Michael Adams, they're not being that productive. And so Steve came in and said, I'm going to take a cleaver to this, and everybody can pay attention to the Rashard Mendenhall signing. And oh, by the way, Ryan Williams is still sitting over there for next year. I like some of the things that they've done that will never be page one above the fold or lead column stuff. But if you dig down on some of these back end of the roster moves, it's really terrific what Steve's done.
And I think when you look even, excuse me, next year and the year after, I mean, some of these guys we're talking about, we're given, I think, even feel the benefit more. I mean, talking about Cooper, what is he going to be next year and the year after that? I mean, I think my gut feeling is he's going to turn out to be a fantastic pick. So I think it's, they're doing great short-term stuff with the Dansbys and everything else, but those draft picks that you were talking about, I think are going to pay off long-term, no question about it.
But you don't think they're making the postseason? You're just a wet dish rag today.
I don't think they're what?
You don't think they're making the playoffs?
No, but it's
you're no
just,
fun.
I know.
What's your
sorry.
Deal?
But what are the two scenarios do you think is the most likely? Do you think that it's tonight, or do you think it's next week?
Oh, the Falcons are going to roll tonight. It's going to be 50-0 Atlanta. It's at San Francisco. Come on.
Yeah, there you go.
These are the same people that say, Brad, you can't call Candlestick Park a dump. No, I can, because it is.
Yeah.
No, I think, in all seriousness, look, the 49ers are going to win tonight, and I don't see the other scenarios coming to fruition. I just, Tampa Bay beating New Orleans, come on. I'm realistic about it.
No, but, you know, and of the two, I think that's certainly the most likely because, like you said, I can't see the 49ers losing at home. But it is, it's really too bad for this team for the amount of wins. If they win, what, they'll finish with 11 wins, is that right?
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
I mean, who, when they were looking at the Cardinals' record this season, said 11 wins?
What's more impressive to you, what the Cardinals have done this year or what the Suns have done to this point?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, I would almost have to give it to the Suns because they were just, and I was among them who just thought they would be awful. I just thought they were going to be a work in progress. I mean, I thought the Cardinals would be more of a 500 team. I didn't think the Suns were going to be a 500 team. So I would have to say in that regard, they've surpassed the Cardinals. But there's a long season ahead, so we'll have to see what direction that heads first. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Talk about two storylines in this town right now of teams exceeding expectations. It's been pretty remarkable.
Because I think the Suns win tonight over the Lakers, and people are going to lose their minds because it's the Lakers.
Right.
Even though there's no Kobe Bryant and all that stuff. But the facts are, when I watch them play, they're actually entertaining.
Yes, they are.
Which the last 3 years, they were painfully, and I mean painfully, dull to watch. And that included having Steve Nash on the team.
Sure.
And so when I watch them play, I feel a level of competence. The same way that I feel a level of competence around Bruce Arians. I think it was towards the middle of November last year where I finally had to pull the plug on Wiz because I didn't feel like there was a level of competence anymore. And when I see Arians back to the Cardinals, they make adjustments. They're
right.
in every game.
Yeah, every game. And I think with both teams, it's been so much about coaching storylines too. And obviously we have to talk about the GMs, but to take what you have and make it work in the way both of these guys have made it work has been a great storyline this season. And, you know, Hornacek is such a low-key guy. You don't talk about him much. You don't think about him much after his initial hire. But I think the respect that he has garnered from that team has been a good story, too.
What are you working on this week?
I'm working on taking a week off, Brad. That's what I've been working on.
You going to San Diego?
I am not.
You are not.
No, but I just finished off a big piece for our A1 section just on how the Fiesta Bowl has sort of had to reinvent itself every year, and you know they had to kind of do it again the past couple of years, and so it was fun tracing the history of that game, which I was not that familiar with. So,
Dr. Shelton, you could hold up his picture in front of 100 people in downtown Phoenix, and nobody would know who he is.
No, and he has been, I think, one of the most reasons that they've turned it around. He was the absolute best hire they could do. He was a bright guy, you know, I think a physicist by trade, who's also had experience with the college bowl system and just has this sort of, you know, manner of integrity. People respect him. And I think more than anything, that's been the biggest reason that they've kind of bounced back again.
You know, people like lists, and we're at the end of the year.
Right.
If you were to put a list together of the most powerful sports people in Arizona, and Robert would have to be in the top five because now they've got a national title game coming here, and he's managing two games that are going to fill up hotels, fill up stadiums. I mean, we have the usual suspects that are here. I think that Robert would have to be right there among the other guys that we all know who they are. But nobody knows who he is. That's
my
point.
No, you're right. And it's not only the title game, it's the four, you know, they're in the mix for those four different playoff games down the stretch here too, down the road. So they're going to be a part of the big college football picture for a long time. And that was very much in danger. I mean, you remember like 2 years ago or so, the way people were talking about the Fiesta Bowl, it was like you didn't want to be near Yellow Jacket. And that image has changed again, and it's been pretty remarkable.
Have a good holiday. I'll talk to you soon.
You too, Brad. Good talking to you.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend. On the other side, Albert Breer, the NFL Network's insider. I want to talk to Albert on the NFL Network's view of the Cardinals' remarkable season under Bruce Arians, the NFC West, and much, much more with Albert Breer, NFL Network. He joins me next. Brad Susmat, good Monday to you. Yeah, doing a lot of Cardinals today. Why not with what happened yesterday? Taking you national on this story. On sports360az.com, White Mountain Radio. Great to be on White Mountain Radio, and you can follow me on Twitter at Brad Susmat. Let's get national view now for a couple of minutes. Brad Susmat with you, sports360az, on what's the perception of what's going on out here with the Arizona Cardinals winning yesterday at Seattle. Bruce Arians, coach of the year, fans are saying, get rid of Carson Palmer, fans are saying. There's a lot going on with the Cardinals and also with the NFL playoffs in general. Albert Breer, NFL Network, always good to catch up with Albert for a couple of minutes. Are you surprised, Albert? If I would have said to you last July when camps opened, the Cardinals would win 10 games, they'd be in position to play the 49ers, potentially to get into the postseason. Bruce Arians, we talked about coach of the year. Would you bought into any of that last summer?
Well, you can look this up, okay? I picked the Cardinals to make the playoffs, and Bruce Arians to coach of the year. So, I don't get a lot of I don't get all of them right. You know, that prediction stuff can be tough on everybody, but that was one I felt pretty good about. And, you know, I think you look at it, and obviously, you know, that environment competing in that division, you know, with Seattle and San Francisco, even St. Louis, you know, It's a difficult, difficult environment to win games in. And, I think it's a tribute to a lot of people there. So I think it starts with Bruce and Steve Keim and the job that they've done. And I think what we're seeing now, too, is there was talent there already. They made a handful of nice moves, getting a bunch of veteran players in there on one-year contract. They put together a nice draft class, you know, which is, you know, even more impressive considering their first-round pick, went down for the year early. And you know, now I think you're seeing too. There was plenty of existing talent there too. They had a bunch of frontline guys. You know that. I think really they just needed an average quarterback. You know, mm-hmm. It went beyond needing a great quarterback. They just needed an average quarterback. You see, the ability that's on that roster, and that's what's happened.
Albert Breer with us, NFL Network, with Brad Sussmat. Okay, so back on Arians, he was not the first choice out here. He was not the first interview out here. I remember ranting and raving. They've got to find somebody, and why have they not brought Bruce Arians in out here? Go back to last January when the coaching search was going on. What was it about Arians that other organizations didn't jump on him right away? Was it the age thing, Albert? What was it?
Yeah. Honestly, I think it was almost exclusively the age thing, you know, because he'd obviously done a very, very good job, you know, with the Steelers for all those years. I know he wasn't happy about the way that ended. You know, if you got him in an honest moment, he'd tell you that, you know. And, so he goes to Indianapolis, and, not only does he show, again, his ability to work with a young quarterback, as he did with Ben Roethlisberger, you know, and Peyton Manning, and doing it again with Andrew Luck. He also obviously managed just an incredibly rare situation dealing with what his close friend Chuck Pagano went through. And I think the biggest thing I'm sure Cardinals management saw this. Most people that I've talked to about Bruce will take you back to when he was at Temple and how difficult the situation was there and the kind of kids that he was dealing with. And the kind of kids that he was handling, and I think, the biggest thing, that people all say for Bruce is that, he can get anybody to play for him. You know, it doesn't matter if it's the quarterback from Orange County in Carson Palmer, or if it's the defensive back from a bad part of New Orleans, in Tyrann Mathieu. He has a way of being able to relate with everyone, no matter what their background is, no matter where they're from, and. I think you see that in tough moments, and I think you see it in a moment like you had yesterday where, they play real well most of the game, they kick the field goals, and then the Seahawks find a way to come back, in a place where no one else has won all year, and, going through all of that, they're able to kind of rally the troops and pull off a win at the end. I think Bruce has done a fantastic job, there's no question about it, and you can see a lot of that relatability, the way that he handles people coming to roost now.
Why is that, Albert? I mean, you're on it. I see it the same way that when Wiz was here, some of these veteran guys, I think, checked out. And so what is it where – is it the staff that he's put together, is it really just his very, very straightforward approach, no nonsense, almost Buddy Ryan-esque at times, what we dealt with 20 years ago out here, where it's just, look, this is the way it is.
Yeah, well, I think, one of the biggest things with Bruce, I think, is that the players know he'll have their back, and that's a big thing for those guys. And, so I think, whoever it is, and everybody goes through different things to get to that point, as a professional athlete. I think a big, big part of it is Bruce knows, the players know that, at the end of the day, Bruce not only cares about them as players, but cares about them as people, and he has their back. And, I think just how genuine the message is, I'll say this, professional athletes, one thing I've found in 9 years of being around NFL players, they aren't always the smartest people, but the one thing that they have, I've found pretty consistently is an incredible BS meter. they can see through people when people aren't being themselves. And, I think you often see that with coaches who, rise up into these positions where, all of a sudden I've gone from being an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator to being a head coach. Well, now all of a sudden that person feels like they've got to kind of go outside of themselves, to fill that role, to be that authoritative figure. I don't think Bruce ever felt like he needed to do that, and I think that's such a big part of it is that, for all those pro athletes, that PPS meter, when they look at Bruce Arians, it's not going off. He's genuine, he's real. He's the same guy as he was when he was the offensive coordinator of the Steelers. He's the same guy he was when he was the offensive coordinator of the Colts and then the interim head coach of the Colts. He's so steady. And, I just think that, because of that, that's one of the main things that helps him, really relate to the guys in the locker room.
Albert Breer, NFL Network, with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. Is he your coach of the year, or Ron Rivera has obviously done a great job. Bill Belichick with all the injuries and off the field stuff. Does Bruce have a shot at Coach of the Year?
Yeah, he certainly does. You know, and I think what's so unique about it this year is that, you know, we've got these playoff spots that are kind of, you know, open for the taking now. So it's hard to hand out these awards when you don't know. I mean, the Cardinals could wind up out of the playoffs. The Panthers, I mean, they're going to get in, but what seed are they going to be? You know, and so there's still a lot of moving parts there. But I think Bruce certainly deserves consideration. He's right in there with that group. Ron Rivera, I think considering the circumstances where a lot of people thought Rivera was going to be gone because they brought in a new GM, not unlike, you know, the situation in Chicago the year before, you know, he certainly deserves consideration. Bill Belichick, I mean, they lost maybe five of their seven highest paid players, you know, and they're on the verge of 12 wins. And a lot of that has to do with the quarterback too, but, you know, Belichick's certainly done an outstanding job. So there are a handful of guys that are in the running. And I think what's really interesting about it is we're going to see all of this shake out over the next week. And, you know, on Monday, a week from today, you know, you could have the New England Patriots as the 2 seed, or you could have them as the 4 seed. You know, you could have the Arizona Cardinals in or out of the playoffs. You could have Carolina Panthers as a 2 seed or a wild card. So, you know, I think in that way, some of the things that we're going to use as tiebreakers, you know, haven't been determined yet. So it's going to be interesting to watch that play out in week 17. And, you know, certainly, you know, a handful of very, very worthy candidates, you know, in the running. And Chip Kelly, you know, Chip Kelly, I think, being that mix too.
A couple other questions to let you go. Carson Palmer, in your mind, do they have to address quarterback again in this offseason, or has he adjusted enough to Bruce's offense? Fans today are, he threw 4 picks. Yeah, he also threw a game-winning throw to Michael Floyd. That was terrific, and has found a way to lead this team to 10 wins. You read on Carson Palmer out here in Arizona.
Yeah, my sense of it is that I don't think he's the long-term answer. And, you know, they all have – I feel like with you know, with a lot of quarterbacks in these situations, you look at the guy who – you know, a head coach and a general manager are going to hitch their wagon to. And that guy's going to determine whether or not they get hired, whether or not they stay or get fired down the line. I don't think Carson Palmer's that guy for Steve Keim and Bruce Arians. I think what Carson Palmer does, though, is he gives them the flexibility not to have to force a pick. You know, and so now I think going forward, you hang on to the guy and you don't need to, and he gives you that flexibility where if you don't like the quarterbacks that are sitting there for you, in the 2014 draft, well, then maybe you can wait for Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston or whoever's available in 2015. And, you know, that's a powerful thing to have. I think you can, you know, take your listeners through and look at the 2011 class where a lot of teams reached. And, you know, I know the two teams that kind of punted on that class intentionally. They didn't, you know, we don't like Ponder or Gabbert, you know, or Locker, and we're going to wait till next year. Well, you know, two of those teams were the Redskins and the Dolphins. And, you know, they wind up waiting a year and wind up with Robert Griffin III and Ryan Tannehill. Now, we don't know whether or not those guys are going to be the long-term answers for their franchise, but I think at this point, you'd certainly agree that there's more promise there than there is with Blaine Gabbert or Jake Locker or, you know, or Christian Ponder. And I think that's a powerful, powerful thing. You know, now Steve Keim and Bruce Arians, when they go into the next draft class, they don't like who's available. They're going to have that ability to kind of wait a year if they need to.
Before I let you go, so you look over, the AFC is pretty well set. The Cardinals are in a spot where tonight they're watching and rooting for the Falcons to win at San Francisco. How do you think the NFC playoffs shakes out?
I still think Seattle's the favorite. I mean, I think that's going to be a difficult place to go win in January. I know the Cardinals, you know, you showed a lot of toughness and grit going up there and winning. I still see the Seahawks as a favorite, and if there's a team that I would put second, it would probably be the San Francisco 49ers. You know, and I think those two teams right now stand alone, and then, you know, and the real wild card then becomes the Green Bay Packers. You know, if they can get Aaron Rodgers back playing this week, the dynamic completely changes there. And I think what's interesting about the Packers, they've had to develop a lot of other facets, and it didn't look great yesterday, but they've had to develop a lot of their facets of their team to try and get by over the last month and a half. You know, and I think that it'll be really interesting to watch if they get the chance to reinsert Aaron Rodgers into that mix and see what it looks like in a playoff setting. So I'd still say Seattle and San Francisco were above the fray, and then, you know, Green Bay would kind of be the one that, you know, a little bit of a wild card out there that could pull an upset or two.
Appreciate the time as always, Albert. Thanks for talking to the fans out here in Arizona.
Anytime.
Albert Breer with us with, of course, the NFL Network. Always great to have Albert on board. Sports360AZ.com. That's where our content is housed, located. Check it out, Sports360AZ.com. Great to be on White Mountain Radio. A lot of people from the valley up in the mountains this week. Be safe. Enjoy your holidays. And, of course, I'm on Twitter at Brad Cesmat. That's C-E-S-M-A-T.